Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. The sermon's going to focus 16 through 23, but I wanted to back up a bit to give context and begin at verse 13 for the reading. So we'll begin at verse 13 of Colossians 2 and read to the end of the chapter. This is God's holy word. Listen carefully. "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous minds, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch," referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word." And the congregation said, "Amen." Children, I want to ask if you play a game. This is a game that all my children have played with me, and Cara now plays with me. When it's outside and it's sunny and your shadows are easily seen, have you ever tried to step on the other person's head? Have you ever played that game where you're chasing the other person's shadow and saying, "Aha, I got you, I stepped on your head"? If not, then it's just our family, we're weird. We announce that to everyone so that when people look at us and go, "You're weird," we go, "We told you. We told you." Right? But you play this game. Of course, it doesn't actually hurt you. But now, children, I want you to think of this. Would it be not weird? I just see James. I'm going to use James here. Would it not be weird if I wanted to get to know James, I walked up to his shadow on a sunny day and said, "Hey, James, how you doing?" James would say, "Pastor Cowan, I'm right here." And wouldn't it be weird if I just kept talking to the shadow as if the shadow's going to teach me about James? You all would rightly say, "Pastor Cowan's kind of lost it." And yet, as we come through Colossians, Paul challenges this church that's what they're being tempted to do. Instead of looking to Christ, who is the substance of all that is righteous and holy, of all that is perfect and beautiful, of all that is love, they're looking to shadows. They have been taught that Jesus Christ our Lord is all sufficient, that he's fully God and fully man, that he's the creator and sustainer of the known and unknown universe. They have been taught that in him is all wisdom and life and love. They have been taught that in Christ the fullness of deity dwells. He's the promised Messiah. He is God. This is the known Jesus. And yet they're settling for shadows. They're settling for a half-known Jesus. They're being taught not a new Jesus, but a Jesus that's only half known. What about us? Do you truly know Jesus or only half know him? And the evidence will be, what do you do with your shadows? And we're first introduced to the shadows in verses 16 and 17. And Paul warns here that these shadows are used to judge others incorrectly. They're used to judge ourselves incorrectly as well. And in these shadows, I believe that they're clearly linked to the law. There's reference to dietary restrictions and holy days. And if you think of Galatians and Philippians and the book of Hebrews, this is linked to the legalism that they were battling over in the apostolic church. There were those in the Colossian church that were insisting that Christians still had to maintain the ceremonial and dietary laws. And Paul reveals in these verses that these are false judges relying on shadows. The ceremonial and dietary laws point to Christ. They had no power in them. They just were shadows pointing to the substance. As Hebrews 10 points out, the blood of the sacrifices couldn't atone for sins. Every sacrifice made, if done by faith, was a shadow relying on the mercy and grace of God found not in the sacrifice, not in the ritual surrounding it, but in the cross of Christ that was to come. Every sacrifice in the Old Testament was only efficacious because the shadow of Christ's cross fell back onto it. Without the cross, everything you find in the law was utterly useless. The substance of all the law is Jesus, his birth, life, death, and resurrection. The power of the law was contained in Christ. And yet people were taking these shadows and judging each other by how they observed them or not observed them. And this judgment continues today in the visible church. If you've ever read any commentaries on this passage specifically, you will realize this passage is one of the most contested passages of this letter. What is going on here? What is Paul trying to say? For instance, Chrysostom argued that those who were judging were upset over the improper performance of Jewish rites. They weren't upset that Jewish rites were being done. They were upset that they were being improperly done. John Calvin, centuries later, argues specifically against Chrysostom, saying, no, you missed the point. The point is that they were being done. And brothers and sisters, it goes back and forth down through the centuries. Even today there's debate. What's happening here? I think what is clear is that it is wrong to judge the faith of others or ourselves on the observance or lack of observance of the shadows. Because shadows do not fully reveal Christ. They only point to his necessity. And like I said at the beginning, I would argue based on the other letters of Paul that it's Jewish legalism that they're facing here. To rely on shadows, rituals, prayers, works, reveals that we do not fully know Jesus. And this is not saying you do not have faith. This is saying that at best, our faith is weak if we're relying on shadows. As Paul states in verses 20 through 23, those insisting on shadows reveal they live according to human precepts and wisdom, not the wisdom of Christ. But before we go there, I want us to look further at these shadows. Because Paul reveals these shadows are not only observance of things that are no longer necessary. They also include hyper-spirituality. And we find this in verse 18. Verse 18 warns about being disqualified by the insistence of others. So look at verse 18 again with me. Insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in details about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind. The ESV and many other English translations interpret for us phrases within this verse. I just want to look at the first one. Insisting on asceticism. When you hear that, your mind narrows down to what the focus is here. The ESV does this to kind of remove the ambiguity of the text, and that's very unfortunate. An English translation that gets closer to the Greek is the New King James that states this, taking delight in false humility. The problem is false isn't in the Greek. Now, they've italicized that, so you know it's not there. But both the ESV and New King James, they're trying to get rid of the ambiguity of the Greek, but when they do it, they limit Paul's intent. What is actually there is this. Delighting in humility. Now, Lord willing, we can see why this is ambiguous, because outside of this passage in the New Testament, humility is a good thing. Humility is something we're to strive for. For instance, that the very same form of this word is found in Philippians 2, where we read this, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. We only know that humility in Colossians 2, verses 18 and 23 is not positive due to the context. There were those who were proud of their humility in the Colossian church. They were delighting in humility. You're supposed to chuckle. Paul put that in there to make you smile. The Greek is speaking much more broader than a monastic lifestyle. It's flaunting your humility as an example for others to follow. And this can be found in spiritual practices or simply day-to-day life. For example, giving generously, expecting others to copy you. Living frugally and making it the standards for everyone else. Serving in the church and disappointed that others don't have the same level of commitment as you do. That is delighting in humility. Oh, look what I'm doing. Why aren't you doing it? That's delighting in humility. People who serve and they have to tell everyone, look what I did. That's delighting in humility. In verse 18, Paul uses this as an example of hyper-spirituality. See, a shadow is not only found in observing rituals fulfilled by Christ, but also insisting that others have to do your spiritual practices because yours are the right ones. To insist on regulations and rules to gain holiness or acceptance is to rely on shadows. To insist that others do your same spiritual practices is also relying on shadows. Neither one is better. Both are wrong because Paul reveals in verses 20 to 23 the mindset behind both is human precepts and teachings. And through these verses, we realize the philosophies that Paul warned about at the very beginning of this chapter primarily focus on gaining acceptance by God. The philosophies he's warning about here is what you think gets you accepted by God. And the summation of these philosophies or shadows is found in verse 21. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. A faith that relies on shadows and Jesus results in restriction and regulation. It's about what you can and cannot do. A faith relying on shadows is not interested in freedom in Christ because it doesn't know his freedom, because it doesn't fully know him. And so a faith like this is always worried about, what can I get away with? I can do this. I can't do that. How close do I have to get? That's a faith based on shadows, because it doesn't truly know Jesus and the freedom that is in Jesus. And therefore it desires to bind consciences of others because its conscience is bound, because it doesn't know Jesus. It doesn't understand who Jesus is and what he's done. It's a weak faith at best, full of doubts hidden by outward spiritual practices and regulations. As verse 23 reveals, it appears to be wisdom, but it has no value. It's useless because it's a shadow. And the result of those caught up in shadows judge each other's faith by their own standards, not by Christ Jesus our Lord. And brothers and sisters, we hear it all the time in the visible church. A Christian will act like this, dress like that, not do this or that. And what's happening? Judging by shadows. And judging by shadows always turns our preferences and experiences into laws that bind not only our conscience, but the consciences of all around us. Because we need to be hyper-spiritual, or else people won't believe we're saved. We got to do all the things, or else I will doubt my own salvation. And the result is no one measures up, not even ourselves. Let me just open a can of worms here. You ready? Just going to hit some highlights. Let's think of dress. And I think of this because in any church, it's the most obvious. Coralie and I grew up in British Columbia, separated by 1,100 kilometers, and yet both our churches had a non-starter for any man. You didn't wear a tie. You just did not wear a tie. If you wore a tie, you were a visitor. Yet, there are some other churches where a man to not have a tie would be scandalous. Which church is right? What about holy days? Grace ARP on their website speaks directly about the traditional Presbyterian view, and full disclosure, I agree. Should we judge each other's faith by whether we observe or not observe holy days? And Lord willing, our answer is no, because we grasp these are but shadows. I could go on and address worship preferences, styles, even doctrines, confessions, and creeds. You see, a shadow is anything we insist we need along with Jesus for holiness and acceptance before God. Shadows can be very good things, except we've turned them into a source of righteousness instead of obedience. We've turned them into what makes us holy. And when we do that, we've dethroned Christ. Shadows are anything you do or not do that you believe makes you, your family, or our church more holy, or reveals that we are holy. Shadows are used to prove holiness instead of relying on the person and work of Jesus alone. On the surface, they appear wise. They, as I've already said, might even be good. But because we use them for our source of holiness, they are, as Paul states in verse 23, utterly useless. So what are we to do? Do you just give up the shadows? No. Because in so doing, you've created another shadow. Look at me, I'm more holy because I don't do anything. Congratulations, you've created a new shadow. See, you and I can't get rid of our shadows. We just keep adding to them. That's Paul's point here. Paul doesn't say ignore the issue. And Paul doesn't say do what you want. Paul's answer is look to the substance of the shadows. If you and I want truth, wisdom, righteousness, holiness, life, the answer is never found in us, but in Jesus. To give up our shadows, we are to look to the substance of the shadows, who is Christ alone. Even the good things in your life are but a reflection of Christ's goodness. We need to know Jesus as he is fully revealed through his word. He is the fount of all life, wisdom, and righteousness. And you and I must cling to the substance who is Christ. We must look at his radiant glory. And do you know what happens when the radiant glory of Christ comes into your life? The shadows are dispersed. Not by you doing the right thing, but because Christ is now your substance. He is now your head. He is all you need. So why would I look for anything else to be holy? Because he alone is holiness. And if I'm united to him by faith, I am now holy. I can't get more holy than Jesus. I can't get more righteous than Jesus. And yet so many people in the church are striving to get more holy and more righteous. It's a horrible thing. Those who cling to shadows for holiness forget the head of all things is Christ Jesus our Lord, and that's all we need. And verse 19 cannot make it plainer. All spiritual growth in the church comes from God. Notice how Paul stresses the importance of Christ our head in verse 19. From whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Notice, you and I are only present here as part of the body that is growing from God. It's not our efforts. The way we're released from the power of our own shadows is knowing who our head is and knowing how powerful he is and knowing that he does it all. And that our response is merely obedience to what he's done. And those who forget this live as if they're not dead to the elemental spirits. And here again, I think Paul is referring more to Greek philosophy than demonic forces. Greek philosophy in Paul's day broke everything down into basic elements. Earth, wind, fire, air, and ether. And the Greeks held that if you understood these, you could understand the universe. And think of a similar mindset that is in the visible church. If you just do the right things, if you just dress the right way, if you just live the right life, if you speak the right words, if you do the right rituals, then you too can be holy. And this mindset simplifies faith, and the Christian life becomes about all that you do, not all that Christ has done. And it becomes a Christless Christianity. Or as Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Brothers and sisters, go to a Christian bookstore or go online, and you will be shocked at how many apparent Christian books are promoting a Christless Christianity. Parent like I do. Pray like I do. Serve like I do. It's useless. And yet, it sells books. It sells out conferences. It makes big names. And Paul says it's utterly useless. Christ is to be our head. And to come to him in faith means we die with him to the elemental spirits. We die to the simplistic way of thinking and living that always says, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. That's not Christianity. We have to die to our best efforts. We have to die to our best works so that we can live in the righteousness of Christ, desiring to be obedient to the one who is everything to us. Shadows look to regulations and restrictions, but Christ calls us to look in faith to him alone. And Paul reveals how radical this life of faith is in 1 Corinthians 10 when he makes this bold statement. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Shadows never have that power. Shadows must always restrict and divide, because shadows can never do what only Christ does. In Christ alone, you die to the demands of your flesh, this world and others. In Christ alone, there is freedom to live before God, fully accepted in every way, at every time. In Christ alone, there is true unity as we are bound together by our one head, who is the substance of all things. This morning, do you truly know Christ, or are you controlled by your shadows? To try to gain holiness and acceptance or prove these things through any effort means you're living by shadows. And Paul calls you to return to Christ, your head, or come to him for the first time. Come into true holiness and righteousness that accepts you fully because of Christ. Come into a life where obedience is but a response of God's loving eternal acceptance. To truly know Christ is to understand you cannot be more accepted, more holy, more righteous, more loved than you are at this moment, because you are united to Christ, and Christ is perfection. I hope and pray that we are all living by Christ and not our shadows. Let us pray. Almost gracious, merciful Father, God, as you have revealed through your Apostle Paul, it is so tempting in the church to acknowledge Christ and then live by shadows. to acknowledge Christ and then think we must fulfill what Christ is lacking, as if he is lacking righteousness, holiness, love, and acceptance. Have mercy and forgive us. And Spirit, remind us as we go after shadows that Christ is the substance of all things. He lacks nothing. He is sufficient. And to be united with him means we are fully loved and fully accepted now and forever. Oh, Father, I pray through your Spirit you would increase our knowledge of Christ, our head, so that our shadows flee at the radiance of his glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.